Welcome to the Single Parent Podcast. Whether you've been a single parent for a while now or have just started on your journey,
the Single Parent Podcast is a safe place for single parents to get some great information and resources, hear the stories of fellow single parents, and connect with a strong and supportive community.
We want to help you go from surviving to thriving. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Single Parent Podcast. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm going to toss to the other Christina today, and she's going to introduce our guest today. Our guest actually came to us in a bit of a unique way.
Hey, everyone. Thanks, Christina, for giving me an opportunity to introduce our lovely guest today. I'm actually intrigued the way that Lindsay actually reached out to us. So I put a shout out on Instagram just asking our following if there was anyone who would like to share their story and if they maybe had something a bit more unique to share with us. And it's funny because sometimes... Instagram special and people will go into a message request folder and I'm like, no, don't go in there because I don't know if I'm seeing everything. So I'll sometimes periodically just check it to make sure we're not missing anything. And sure enough, I seen this lovely message from Lindsay, who's from out in Eastern Canada. And she sent a really lovely message and thought that her story was unique and could really shed a lot of light on something that maybe we haven't talked about before. So welcome, Lindsay. We're so excited to have you here. And maybe just share your story with us. I think that's, we'll just start there. Give us a little background. How did you become a single parent?
Well, I mean, the inevitable way that I think, well, we all become pregnant, right? The single part. So I was explaining, I have been single parent since the get-go, since the day I found out I was pregnant. My partner at the time did not choose to go forward with this journey with me. And that has had a little bit of an impact on myself, but you know, I look back now and see how fitting his decision was, and it's not normal. I couldn't find another woman who found out they were pregnant and didn't have a partner by their side. In this day and age, it's not a common thing. Right. For me, it was challenging to do this. I'm 31 now, so I was 29 when I found out. So I'm not exactly a young woman either.
And I don't know. We're late 30s, so I consider you pretty young.
When I think about it, like in contrast, yes, like young mom, you think of like teen mom or early 20s. Yes. Like right. I started in the younger 20s for sure with my first. So yeah, like to have a child in your late 20s, like you're a bit more mature. And at that point, you would probably think, yeah, there would be a partner there with you. That must have been incredibly difficult, that decision of, was that difficult for you? That decision of, what do I do if this person's not here? Did that question of adoption or abortion or keeping the baby, did that sort of role play in your mind? Because for me, I think it probably would have if I knew my partner was not on board.
So yeah, when I found out that I was expecting, I remember, so I happened to be in the US at the time. Mm-hmm. I had just finished my MBA and I was awaiting for a work visa to come in. So I was not working, had no money to my name, and was basically with my ex, and this situation came up. And, you know, every scenario comes into your head. My gut told me what my answer, what my decision was going to be, but I still had to go through the other motions and put thought into what I was going to do. My ex had asked for me to leave when we found out.
Wow.
So backstory a little bit. He wanted me to go to a doctor to make sure that the pregnancy was accurate. which I agreed. I thought that was a good idea. The doctor that he took me to was not just a doctor, it was specifically an abortion clinic. And this was
Wow.
24 hours after finding out I was pregnant. So I was still very emotional at that time. I was rather shocked that he took me to this place and more or less left me.
Wait, he just dropped you off and just left you there?
So he stayed in the car, but made me go to the door myself.
Oh my
We this was
goodness.
during COVID. This was August of COVID. So everything was different in terms of the healthcare system. It wasn't as easy just to walk in. And I remember I stood on the door and I knocked on the door and I didn't, everything was still a blur to me. And it hadn't even clicked that it was an abortion clinic. And then a nurse had come to the door and she said to me, you know, you have to make an appointment and you've done a pregnancy test. And I said, yes. And well, do you have a decision? And I said, a decision? Like, I just found out. Like, do we not need to check? And I had no idea.
So was he, so he didn't tell you that it was an abortion clinic. You were under the assumption that you were going to go to a regular family doctor to check to see what was going on. Is that right?
Yes.
To confirm the pregnancy. Wow. Yeah, that communication that wasn't there, that's disheartening. I can't, I haven't been put into a position like that, but I'm imagining in that moment, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes and the first thing that comes to mind is almost a sense of betrayal. Like, why would someone do that to me?
I mean, I think when he had said he wanted to choose a doctor, I thought this was coming from a place of compassion, a place of caring about someone. I was in a foreign country. I thought, wow, this man is stepping up and he's taking care of me. I don't think it even resonated with me until I got home to Canada, just how poor that was. But again, I was sort of still living in this like fight or flight mode in terms of what am I doing? Like, how do I feel right now? You know, emotionally, I knew that I was very upset and hurt, but the will of me was like, you have to move forward, you have to keep going. One of the other big things that is an important part to talk about is that I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I was diagnosed when I was 15. And the doctors have always said to me that becoming pregnant would be a challenge if possible as a diabetic. So, you know, learning that I was pregnant was a complete shock. And in one sense, there was this like happiness to know that my body could function like so many other women do. You know, I was like, yay, this is possible. But then at the same time, there was this dark sadness of like, okay, it's possible, but you're gonna have to do this all by yourself. And you're gonna have to manage your diabetes, and you're gonna have to look after a newborn. And it was a lot. It was a lot. I quickly packed my things and he insisted that I leave and go to Canada. So within 72 hours of finding out, of going to the abortion clinic, I got in my car and I drove 22 hours back to Canada by myself.
Holy crap. Wow.
Probably wasn't the safest idea. I would not suggest or ask anybody to do that. At this point, I hadn't even told my family. I was just so, like, I had such a desire to get home, to get to Canada, to be with people that supported me and cared about me. The drive was long, but I drove 20 hours in one day because I wanted to be home. Throughout my drive, I listened to a podcast that was about abortion stories. I don't really know why I put it on. I think I needed to hear something. I needed to have some sort of information. And I listened to 15 women talk about their different situations and their different stories. And I'm certainly not against abortion. I do believe that there are situations and cases where, that is the right choice. But my learnings from these abortion stories were that a lot of these women say they felt this sadness that didn't leave after making their choice. And I remember, like, I'm quite not OCD, but I literally made a list, and it was like 9 out of 10 of these women say that they would do it differently if they could go back.
Right.
So that was a big presence in my decision, was listening to these stories and listening to how it affected their life after, and their life as young women. A lot of these women, were unable to have children later in life, and those scenarios, right? So here I am, I'm in my car, I'm crying, mascara everywhere. My blood sugars are up and down. I'm pregnant. I don't know what I'm doing, and all I want to do is just get home. So it was long. It was a long drive.
Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine how that drive must have been for you. Just the emotions, and because of your diabetes, the physical impact of that too, because I'm sure at that point you probably weren't even thinking of, properly taking care of yourself the way that you need to when you have diabetes. I don't have it, but I have a family member who has it, and it's type 2, so they deal with the injections and all of that. But just in managing that, because I have driven very emotionally when I've been in an emotionally fragile state. And I don't like using the word fragile, but it's the best word I have for what you feel at the time, because everything, you are so hypersensitive to everything, right? And I can't even imagine what that drive must have been like for you. Did you find when you were listening to those stories, did that help ground you a little bit? It's like it gave your mind something to focus on.
It did. It definitely put into perspective a lot of things that we are so used to easily being influenced by people who we surround ourselves with. And these were women that I didn't know. And I think it was that part of it that made it feel like it was more of an open space. It was helpful. It like significantly impacted my decision, obviously, because I have a 2-year-old now. It's kind of scary. Or not scary, but to think of how different my life would be if I just would have made one decision differently. But I think, a life without these little people, there's so much more learning to come and so much more meaning to life than I ever had before. I'm a faithful person. I went to church. I went to Bible school. But I never turned to faith so much as during this time. I would pray a lot at night, and I would always ask for signs about what the decision should be. It's so weird because as soon as I got home, and we were still in isolation in Canada. So I arrived in Canada, drove into the driveway to see my parents, and I couldn't even get a hug because we weren't allowed to have contact. We have a loft area at our home, which is basically it's just a separate living quarters, which was all set up for me to stay in. But there was another 14 days that I sat alone in an apartment, and all I had to do was think about what was I going to do.
So when you were sitting in that apartment, I'm so curious of the mindset, because I was in a bit of a similar situation in terms of the pregnancy part of it. When Oh gosh, when my kids, I already had two kids at the time, and my son was about, I want to say one or two, and I found out it was a surprise pregnancy. It was right in the middle of a move, which is the best time to find out that you're surprised you're pregnant, and it wasn't planned. And the same, what hearing your story here, I remember feeling like that, where it wasn't expected, you're processing what's going on, and feeling like I don't, it for me, I didn't want to have another baby. And like you, I am religious for, for myself. And that was hard to feel. It was hard to feel like I didn't want this baby because I'm a very nurturing and caring person. But in that moment, you struggle with that, right? Because of these warring views within you. And within a week, I actually found out it was an ectopic pregnancy. And so I had to go in. And so within that week, found out I was pregnant and then had to say goodbye to this little life, right? And I'm so curious for you, when you were in that kind of decision process, what was it that made you lean towards, I'm keeping my baby? What was it? Was it a defining moment or was it more of a gradual thing for you?
I want to say I do believe it was a defining moment. I sat 2 weeks. I was unable to, visit my family. I was unable to still see a doctor. During those 2 weeks, I had put a call in to a doctor who had wanted to see me once the quarantine was done. I sort of remember saying to myself, I'm not going to conclude a decision until I have an ultrasound. Like, I hadn't even had an ultrasound. It was the ultrasound and it was hearing a heartbeat that I was just like, he has to be here.
Yeah, he does. Like that, I remember those moments with both my kids, and it hits so hard. It's like it's real. You hear that heartbeat and you're like,
You're
it's
like, that's
you.
mine. That's my
Oh yeah,
baby.
that's my baby in there. It's okay. It's okay to feel those feelings. For both of us, I know for me, I went through so many emotions sharing my story because you put yourself back in those moments. You don't really revisit them a ton to this extent, right? And it's okay to feel those feelings, 100%. We're here
I
for you.
think for me, it's still talking about it is challenging because it was so different. And I knew I wanted a child or children, but the way that it was happening was so not the way I was raised or the way it was supposed to be. And I held a lot of shame for that. And I think that's the hard part in talking about it sometimes.
Once you heard that heartbeat and you knew like this was this defining moment, did your family know at that point that you were going to the doctors, or did you tell them after that, or what kind of support did you have from them?
So as soon as my quarantine was done, I informed my parents, and it was funny because I leaned heavily on my dad's decision or my dad's response, I want to say. My mom has always been and always is super supportive in anything I do. My dad is a little bit more conservative in terms of what he wants for my sisters and I. He's not overly sharing with things. So I remember him standing in the garage. He was on one side, I was on the other. My mom was on the other. We were still like keeping distance, even though none of us had COVID. And I remember telling them and looking at him. And his response was that I could do it. And that I wasn't going to be alone. And he came over to me and gave me the biggest hug, and I knew that he was right.
Yeah, he was. I mean, look where you are now. He knew that strength in you even before you did. And that is such a beautiful way to respond. And I think in that situation, the fear is very real because of how you were raised and your experience growing up, and you have these assumptions of how someone is going to react. And that is such a beautiful, loving way that he responded. And I am so glad that he did that for you, because I know that there are a lot of women whose families don't respond in that way. And their village gets very, very small very fast. I also love that he's like, screw COVID, I'm giving you a hug. Get over here. Like, he just.
COVID sucks for that. He was like, fuck this. I'm out of here. We're hugging.
I think when I look back at my story and how everything is kind of panned out, it's so easy to see that my son, this was going to happen. Like, if you told me at 21 that I was going to have a young boy, I would probably laugh. But it all makes sense. Like, it's exactly what everybody needed at what was some of the darkest times in society or that we've had for a long time. My son has brought a lot of joy to my entire neighborhood. I was lucky enough to get to stay with my parents for the last 2 years, and my mom retired and have been watching my son while I worked. I had my grandparents around. Like, I've had so much support from everybody that it sometimes I feel bad when I say I'm a single parent, because I'm not going at this alone. I'm going at this without a partner, but I'm not alone. I have so much help, and that's exactly what a child needs. Is it doesn't matter where the love comes from. It's just that the love is there.
Heck yeah. Oh, I love that you said that you weren't alone in that and you discovered that early on too, because I mean, your son's not that old yet. And the fact that you created this little village with your family is incredible. And you're 100% right when you say it doesn't matter where the love comes from, because as long as that child feels that love around them, they're not going to know any different. They're just going to be like, this is great. Like, I have the best relationship with my grandparents, my great grandparents. Like, a lot of kids can't say that. So that's super, super special. And yeah, that's really amazing. Like, oh, I love that. Good for you.
Yeah.
Get
And
it, girl.
it's interesting the way that you talk about, that you are a single parent. I don't think you need to feel guilty. You have no guilt whatsoever to say you are a single parent, because you are. Even with the amount of support that you have, in a it's a weird place to be, because you have all of this support around you, and technically you're not alone, but you are in a way, because you are the only one making those decisions as a parent, and only you as a parent can make those decisions. Nobody else can make those decisions for you. And it's not like you can, talk to the way you talk to a partner is very different than how you would talk to, say, a parent, like your parents or a friend or, so in it's a very weird place to be as a single parent, I find, is this like loneliness wrapped in not loneliness, but kind of lonely. And it's a yes and a no. It's a very weird space to be. I'm very curious, when you were pregnant, how was the pregnancy? Because obviously, like, that moment when you've made the decision now that you're going to keep your baby. So what was the pregnancy like for you? Because obviously you deal with diabetes. So was there special considerations you had to take into account? What was your pregnancy like?
It would be great if I could say my story was I had a smooth pregnancy, and
What's
I so wish that you
that
did.
like?
Not so much. I had a very difficult pregnancy. Managing diabetes throughout the first trimester is virtually impossible. Your blood sugars go out the wall so high, and it's very dangerous for the child to not have your health in check. I was considered a high-risk pregnancy, so I had more doctor's appointments than normal. I was very active. I had to be active because the insulin doesn't work. It stops working, and you have no choice but to get out and move. I walked 5 kilometers a day, whether it was raining, whether it was a snowstorm. I didn't care, because it wasn't my body that I was impacting anymore. It was somebody else's. The different level of taking care of yourself when there's somebody else you're doing it for. And I had, you know, great assistance from my mom and dad in terms of nutrition and in terms of making sure that I had everything I needed, but it was just challenging. It was challenging for sure. Right up until the end, I ended up having an emergency C-section that was not planned either. And I was very sick after that. I wasn't able to hold my son until 24 hours after he was born.
Wow.
And I was pretty much out of it in terms of like all the drugs and whatnot that they give you. So
right.
I like to say that the traumatic part ended at that point though. Like he really brought a lot of light after that, because I've been so blessed to have a healthy baby and a baby that, you know, weighed well, that fed well, that eats well, that sleeps well. I've been very, very fortunate in that sense.
Oh, I'm so glad for you. And solidarity on the terrible pregnancies. Like, I know for myself, I didn't deal with diabetes. Yeah, I was ill with my first. I was dealing with morning sickness right up until the day I gave birth. And it sucked so badly. So when I hear of someone either who has also had a difficult pregnancy, it's solidarity, my love. And for those who don't, I actually am so happy to hear of women who have smooth pregnancies, because I remember mine being so rough. And I'm like, well, if I can't have a smooth pregnancy, I hope someone else can. Because you know, obviously with yours, there were extenuating circumstances with trying to manage the diabetes and that. So for those first few months then, how did you manage that part of it? Because for you, you were able to be in your parents' home and have that support. So how were those first few months in having a baby?
It was good. I definitely leaned on my mom a lot, because I had to also get well. I had to recover from the C-section. I had to recover from the trauma of having birthed a child, and then leveling out my diabetes, which that takes 3 months to level that back out.
Holy crap, really?
It does, because breastfeeding or nursing, whichever, yeah, you know, that
right,
really causes some instability. And it was so crucial that I get my health back in check. I'm grateful that my family was there, honestly, because they were the ones, like my mom would get up in the middle of the night with me.
The real MVPs are the mamas. Okay. Those grandmas are better than a partner, I promise.
I often think about that, because many, many nights when I was pregnant, I would go to bed just crying because I had no one beside me. And that was like what I thought was the goal of pregnancy, was to have somebody there with you. I would turn over and my bed was empty, and I would wake up and my bed was empty, and it was very, very lonely, very dark. And then here I am with a newborn, and I'm waking up at 2 in the morning. And again, I don't have a partner there. And I know a lot of women talk about how that's frustrating, but there's still sadness when you don't have that person there. My mom was there, and again, I know I'm blessed to have that, because I'm aware a lot of women also don't have that opportunity too. I do believe like things are in place for a reason, and she had and played a very important role in my son's life, and making sure that me as her daughter was safe too.
That's amazing. I have a question logistically. So when your ex-partner decided he wasn't going to play a role at all, was there a conversation with that person about signing over like rights and that kind of thing? Because I just think about, oh, what if you want to get a passport? Like, how does that work? Like down the road? I'm not sure if you, I'm sure you've thought about this and dealt with it already, but I'm curious, real nosy.
So unfortunately there, you know, the day that my son was born, things changed for my ex, and he suddenly wanted an opportunity to meet my son and to be there. And I would never deny that. I do think that's important. He was able to get into the country somehow during COVID. I don't know how. He came to visit and he stayed for 24 hours. That was all that he could handle. He had hit me with some letters from some lawyers suggesting that he was going to take me to court. All these nasty, nasty things. I was very fearful of him. He comes from a background of wealth, so getting these lawyer bills or lawyer notices and whatnot was very intimidating to me, and especially being postpartum and still dealing with those emotions. My family, again, was, you know, trying to remind me to just stay calm and let things calm down. But that part was very messy. And I do wish that that wasn't there. But when he came for the visit, it just made sense that he signed the paperwork to not be involved. And he was very willing to do so.
I have to chuckle a little bit that all it took was 24 hours for him to be like, okay, I'm good. that just speaks so much to what your dad said about the fact that you can do this, right? Like, you had that strength in you and he saw it. And even though you were dealing with the postpartum stuff, was that a moment, not a vindication, but was it more of a, you know, like a wuss? Like, was I, and I'm not sure what the deal is with your ex and the feelings there, but was maybe more of a sense of pride in yourself of thinking, you know, yeah, you know what, like, I can do this.
I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that it was like a winning mentality. I know for my family, it was a winning mentality. I think I still felt sadness at that time. And I think I held sadness for my son, that a person was so able to walk away. But now, having had some time to think on it, I realize that, you know, those choices are very serious, big choices to make, and we're not kids. And if you've come to that conclusion after having 9 months to think about this, and then, you know, 3 whole months after the birth, and you still decide that's your choice, I think then that's your choice. And my choice is that I'm going to do this by myself. Like, I don't need to have you by my side. And I politely don't want you by my side.
I love how you added politely, because I think between Christina and I don't think we'd be adding politely to that. Like, total kudos to you. You have so much grace with this. And I know it wasn't always like that. Our viewers couldn't see, but your facial expression went, not all the time. but to a certain extent, the way you are seeing this, I love how you're viewing this experience of yours. And because I know when things happen for me, and same with Christina, when, you know, certain things kind of fell down, is there wasn't necessarily that grace right at the beginning, right? And it seems like you were able to get there faster than most people maybe would have.
I mean, I still struggle. I struggle, I don't want to say daily, but lots of things come up that make me feel differently about my scenario. But the only thing I try to remind myself of is that, you know, this time with our children and when they're this long, young, is so little and is so short. And I'm certainly not going to waste it on a person who is not thinking of us. Good luck to him, I guess. Like,
amen,
I've got other things to worry about. I mean, I just moved into my my townhouse, and I've got a furnished.
That's that's so exciting.
Yeah. So it is. It is exciting. There's a lot more things that you can put your energy into, and I think I decided that when my son was born, I mean, yes, the first 2 or 3 months were challenging, but I decided, like, clean slate. I gotta give my son the best life and a life that doesn't have this negativity, because there will always be a little bit of darkness around that time, but there, it doesn't have to move forward.
Absolutely. I agree.
I
That's
love that for
amazing.
you. I love that for you so much. Like this, it, do you sometimes think back on that drive? And do you see that drive with different eyes now, now that you've been through it, now that you've been through the experience of having your son and you're moving towards getting to the other side? Do you look back on that and kind of see yourself a little differently?
I look back at, like, a lot of the things that occurred and a lot of the times I went through, and I mean, they're still very emotional to me, as you can see today. I still get teary-eyed about it, because the feelings that come with thinking about those times are still there and are still heavy. I think I've grown a lot since that 29-year-old driving all that way, but I'm grateful for that too. I definitely don't think I'm the same person, but not in a bad way.
If there was something that, I've heard this before where, what would you tell your past self or your younger self, especially at a defining moment like that? So if you could be riding in that car with yourself as you're driving north, what would you say to her?
I would tell her that everything's going to be okay, and that to keep your head up. Like, things will get better. There will be hard times. There will always be challenging moments, but that's what life is, and it's how we handle those moments that really can make them and break them. And I would probably tell her to follow her gut and to do what she knows is going to make her happy.
I love this so much for you. I really do. So moving forward then, what kinds of things do bring you joy? Because that coming from an experience, a similar experience of darkness, when you started your journey as a single parent, I understand that journey starting in darkness. What kinds of things bring you joy now that you've kind of stepped in, more stepping fully into your role as a single parent and owning it?
It's really little moments, and I know that sounds very cliche, but it's little moments, little times that I have with my son that I live for. Like, to see him be outside and to play, and to see him around dogs, or to see him around his little friends and the laughs, and the way that he hugs me or he'll give me a kiss. Like, those are the things that really bring so much joy, and I can't wait for more of those things to come.
If there was someone going through something similar, or maybe they were, taking a long drive up north and feeling the same feelings that you were feeling, what would you tell them now?
I would tell them they're not alone. You're not alone, and that there are other people out there, other women out there who have done this and have done well at it, and to be patient and to expect good times to come, but to expect hard times as well. But to remember that the good times will outweigh, and you'll have those memories and you'll have those moments, and those will well go beyond the dark ones. The way I look at my life now is that it's still a book. We're still writing page by page. I know that I will have some challenging moments that come up. There are times that I think too far ahead. What would I tell my son about this time? How do I tell them? But I think it's day by day.
Don't think about the teenage years. Whatever you do, don't do
No.
it. Trust me. They're
Christina, we're
messy.
talking about joy right now, okay?
Be grateful you have a boy. Right now are the crazy years I hear for boys. Like I hear that it's more insane in like the toddler phase, but then they chill out in the teenage years. But this morning, I can say I didn't enjoy the teenage years so much. It was one of the challenging days. And I may have used my mom assertive voice, but tomorrow is a new day. Yes.
I remember those days because I was a teenager as well.
Yes.
I have two sisters. We're all a year apart. So,
oh boy.
Oh, that was
a lot of hormones in a house in high school in one bathroom.
So was it one of those, and this may be a TMI question, but I feel like my daughter and I appeared to have synced. Was it just like your dad just hunkered down for like a week and a bit until had just kind of settled down? Again,
full circle, I think he went through so many years of women, 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 and he's finally got his little guy now.
Ah, he does. He must be just over the moon.
He and my son is like a spitting image, which is crazy.
Aww, I love that.
But it's, again, I go back to my faith, and I think these things happen for a reason. And like this was planned. This was planned for my life the same way it was meant for me to have diabetes. And that it's just how you deal with what you're given. So I won't go any further, but I will say our first year together, my son and I, has been wonderful and challenging. I used to be a competitive ski racer. So
cool.
My first weekend away from my son was to go skiing, and I fell and broke my knee.
Oh no.
8 month old. I was on crutches, unable to walk for 8 weeks. Silver lining, we took our first steps together, which was kind of
love it.
I definitely didn't expect that, for sure. And that's again, I'll go back to saying, like, you're gonna keep having things that come up, and it's just, you got to deal with them. So that's life.
I love this so much for you, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast to share your story, to, you know, to reach out, and the reason you're reaching out is very similar to why we created this podcast in the first place, was to give people a sense of community, of hope, to remind people that they're not alone. And we so appreciate you coming on and being in that spirit of this podcast. We so appreciate you coming on to this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm grateful to get this opportunity. And like I said, if it can touch one person, that's what this is meant to do. So
amazing. Love that.
Yeah. Thank you again so much. And to our listeners, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram. Christina's our social media guru. And if you, like Lindsay, feel like you want to come on and share your story, the platform is open for you. This is an open community to remind people, like I said, that you're not alone. We're all in this together, and we're just going to keep thriving and moving from surviving to thriving. Again, hit subscribe, check us out on social media, connect with us, talk with us, talk with each other. You connect with someone on here, feel free, connect with each other. This is what this podcast
sometimes
is
for. There's giveaways, guys.
Yeah, there is a giveaway. There is a giveaway coming up. I love how you slid that in there, Christina.
I did.
Well done.
I did.
Yes, you did. You did. Because
yeah,
we have
it's going.
To.
Yeah,
we have
get in
to.
On those. Get
Go
in
check
on those.
That out
it's
on
for
social
all Canadians.
Media. So definitely check us out on social media. We will have some info on our giveaway coming up. Until then, we'll catch you on the next episode.
You can find more great episodes featuring helpful information and amazing stories by searching Single Parent Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or visit www.lifesongfilms.com and click podcast.
Thanks for joining us today.
And remember, we're all in this together.